So God has a plan and purpose for us that is going to put a wrinkle in our idea about who we are already. And what everybody's been really talking about tonight and what's been kind of going on is this whole idea of that God's plans for us are way better than we've ever been taught. And I don't even know why, but for months I've been meditating on the things of the Lord and just trying to comprehend how is it that we are so valuable to the Lord. Honestly, how is it that we're so valuable to God? And it's something that I've been almost an unanswered question my whole life. Because the gospel of salvation doesn't really necessarily let you in on your value from God's perspective. We understand the word teaches us about Jesus dying for us and dying on the cross. But for a lot of people, we can't understand that. I mean, really, being a Christian, even, it doesn't fully compute. Because you kind of have this in the back of your mind, okay, what's the deal here? So, how is it that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe on him should not perish but have eternal life? How is that? I mean, that is like really foreign information to the human mind. And I remember the time that I first heard that message for the first time. I'd heard the message probably hundreds of times because my dad was a minister. So growing up, I grew up in a place where they had sawdust on the floors, and he was holding tent revivals. I was watching people come out of the wheelchairs. I was watching people being healed. I was an eyewitness as a little young toddler and young child to the manifestation of God's glory, to seeing literally people who couldn't walk till they were 15 years old get up and walk for the first time. And when you grow up with that's a diet of that's what it's supposed to look like, you kind of like have a whole different perspective on what God can do. And so, but I heard the message hundreds of times. But I remember that there was this one time when I was around 10 years old where the Lord somehow made a little switch change somewhere. He turned a switch on in the old brain or however he does it. Because he gave me a deposit of faith to understand what I couldn't comprehend about his goodness. And it was as though the minister was speaking directly to me. And I was getting the knock, knock, knock on my door. And God marvelously saved me, filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I was like reeling from the experience of his love, speaking in tongues and just like ecstatic for weeks. I couldn't hardly contain what was inside of me. So it's the journey of my life has been those places where God just has been this. I just step into this place where there's the suddenly God. The suddenly God has been he's taken me to the next step, and he's just begun to unravel the mysteries of his kingdom to me, and let me comprehend things that are totally incomprehensible. And 2 weeks ago, he did that again. And that's really the point of my message. The point of my message is this the mysteries of God in plain sight. That everything that we need and want is always there, but we just don't see it. We're not able to see what God has already planned and designed in his divine scheme and his brilliant way in our lives. So what I wanted to do is try to just step into things that will help to comprehend what it is I'm trying to say, because it's a message I've never heard preached. In all my life, I'm 65 now, I've never heard this message that I'm getting ready to deliver to you. Never heard it. And yet, I realize now the early church, the Church of Acts, knew what I'm about to tell you. They totally got this. And I just sense that in my spirit that the reason we're getting it now is because the time is now, that God wants what he has in mind for us to comprehend about how good he is and how great he is, so that we can begin to step into the things that he has in mind for our lives. And that we can begin to understand how amazing his plan and purpose has always been for us. That eclipses anything we've ever heard anybody talk about. So let me get into the meat of this as quickly as possible. The one thing that I begin to understand is that there's this place in God that I was praying about, the now of God. That God lives really in this place where it's a timeless now, that he is omnipresent, that he's in every place and every moment in all time, and that it's not just in a place of limited power, but it's in his fullness. That God is always exists in his fullness. That it's never in a place where it's small. It's always in a place where it's larger than life. It's bigger than what you could ever think or imagine. And he wants us to comprehend that so that we can apprehend what it is he's trying to let us in on. And part of understanding this is really in a very simple thing that all of us know almost by heart, and that's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's an implied now in all of that. Our Father now, our Father now, who art in heaven now, hallowed be thy name now. Thy kingdom come now, thy will be done now on earth now, as it is in heaven now. Are you kind of getting that? Okay. So that's really the way your mindset, that's where you have to kind of be to receive this. Because he is the God of now. It's interesting if you think of different phrases that start in now, that it all of a sudden starts popping up in your brain or in your memory about scriptures. One in particular, the definition of faith, according to Paul, is now faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so I think that there's a difference between now faith and faith. Think about that. We've been trying to describe God as being in the now. So faith without the now, where is it? Because God is in the now in his fullness. So there's a faith that's a now faith. Whoa. There's a faith that's a now faith. And that faith is inclusive of the fullness of the power of God. That will change the way you believe. Because it doesn't sound like a whole lot of difference, faith and now faith. But the point is, now is point to the one that is the source of everything. Now points to the one who is the source of everything that you need. The message that the Lord has given me answers a lot of questions that I've had through the years in terms of understanding who I am. Because there's a disconnect between who I am and who the Word says I am. You already have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ. How many times have we heard that? How do you believe that? What's the basis of how you believe that? What's something that you can really grab hold on to with everything within you that you totally get the meaning of what that idea is saying to you? I already have the fullness of God in Christ Jesus. I have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ. And I've heard that. You've heard that. So how does that hit you? Well, you kind of go, okay, that sounds really interesting, but it doesn't somehow fit who I am. My opinion of me is greater than God's vision of who I am. So therefore, my opinion of me wins every single time. Because I don't agree with God on how he sees me. Okay? Because if I agree with God on how he sees me, then all of a sudden I do have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. And I probably have more abundant than what I can even think or imagine. But I can't really kind of get there because I'm in the way. So I have to remove myself and my own opinion of who I am out of the equation so that I can suddenly begin to agree with the Father about how he made me. So let's just get into the meat of this right now. Because we are ready to go on a trip. Okay, it starts in Colossians 1:19. And we're going to stay in Colossians 1:19 for a long time. Because we're going to be reading out of the parallel Bible, so we can kind of get the full zing about this. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him. This, by the way, is self-explanatory, because by the time you get to the end, you get the message. For God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ. For God in all his fullness, was pleased to live in Christ. Now, what does that mean? Let that sink in. For God was pleased to have all of his divine essence inhabit him. Are you kind of getting that this sounds pretty enormous? Have you ever considered what is the fullness of God look like? And whatever that looks like, whatever you can imagine that's like, was in Christ. God was pleased to have all of himself live in Christ. Whoa. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. I was spinning as I started to read these. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. For God in full measure was pleased to be in him, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all the fullness should dwell. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. For it was the good pleasure of the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. For it was the Father's gracious will that the whole of the divine perfections should dwell in him. I'll tell you, the word interpreting the word is, you can hardly touch it. Because in him did it please all the fullness to tabernacle. Tabernacle. 1 John 16. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For all his fullness we have received, grace upon grace. Ephesians 1:5, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will. This is the Father's eternal plan and purpose in Christ. In Colossians, the Apostle Paul flat out says in plain biblical text, I'm delivering you the fullness of the mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations. Hidden from ages and generations and revealed unto you. The mystery that's been hidden from ages and generations. And what gets me about this is I never saw that the Father, the fullness of the Father was overwhelmingly fully in Christ Jesus. The fullness of the Father is resident in Christ Jesus. I'm going somewhere with this. The fullness of the Father in Christ Jesus in you. Wow. And that's your present condition. Hello? That is your present condition in Christ Jesus. Have you ever considered, can you even imagine what it's like for you to have the fullness of God indwelling you? That takes all your issues and puts them in a different place. Because if the source of everything indwells you in Christ in you, where is your lack? Woo. I think it's leaving this room right now. You want the ultimate sozo experience? Start meditating on the truth about how God divinely planned and purposed to have his fullness indwell you forever. And the only appropriate container for that is Christ Jesus in you. You and I could not tolerate to experience the fullness of God. There's no way that we could actually function. I have been in the glorious presence of the Father, and I was on my face trying to find how to get under the carpet. You do not function in that kind of anointing and that kind of a glorious presence. But of course, Jesus can. Of course, Jesus can handle the fullness of his glory. What a brilliant idea. To put the very fullness of God in Christ Jesus in you. Whoa. Now, I don't know about you, but trying to comprehend this has wrecked me. I used to see myself as being inadequate, not having enough. You can't agree with that you have everything and at the same time think that you're lacking in anything. Because it doesn't work. Every woman that I know in general, this is a general statement, deals with rejection. It's kind of like the place where the enemy revolves, where he kind of sets his sights on you, and he has you live in a place where you experience rejection. Sometimes it's in your face. Having the fullness of the Father, and if you can comprehend that even, what does that look like? You can't experience rejection and embrace that God in all of his fullness indwells you. Because if you embrace rejection, you can't get that you have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ now. Because this is a now word. Because God doesn't. And now, this isn't anything new. This is what's crazy about this. This isn't in a new word. It's just new to us. Because the apostles knew this. And guess what? They turned their world upside down by knowing this. They realized that the fullness of God had decided to deposit everything about who he is in you. So you lack nothing. You don't need to go get something so that you can get it, so you can have it. It kind of takes impartation to a whole different place. You already have been in the impartation of the fullness of the Father. Why do I need to get something else imparted when I have it all? Think about it. The concept of who we are and how valuable we are is based on who values us. Did you get that? The concept of how valuable we are is based on who values us. So where has God put you in value? I've had this crazy idea for such a long time that there is this idea of infinite uniqueness, that each one of us has value that we cannot comprehend. I had that in my knower, but I didn't have anything to back it up. Now I have something to back it up. The fact that God has given you all of his fullness backs up the fact that you are more valuable than you could even imagine or think. Because the one who thinks you're valuable is the most glorious one in the entire universe. He has highly esteemed you. You are more precious than you realize. So we just need to get on the same page with how he values us. Now, you might ask yourself, and this starts to answer a lot of questions, because if you use this framework to start to look at different scriptures, all of a sudden, the light turns on. I had this personal experience with Jesus where he was looking at me in the eyes, and it was about 2 years or 3 years ago, and he just delivered this knock me over message. And my immediate response to it was, no way. And he said to me, Art, you are more valuable to me than myself. And my immediate response was, no way. Well, guess what? It wasn't the Mary response. Let it be to me according to your word. It was the Art response. No way. How can that be? Well, some of you will probably be scratching your head right now going, how is it that's possible that I have the fullness of God in me when it doesn't appear that there's any evidence that that's true? If you haven't already thought that, I'll help you along. I'll tell you why. Because God, in all of his grace and mercy, which we have eternal platitudes of, and that is, in his grace and eternal mercy, he put Christ as the doorkeeper to his fullness. The government of God is where? In Christ Jesus. This is brilliant stuff, guys. Get this. The government of God is Jesus, okay? And only Jesus is able to administrate the fullness of God. And the idea here is we want to let the fullness out somehow. If you're his son, which is that's the point of him having his fullness in you, he makes us all sons. And we're living in an age now where there's people who are talking about that the whole earth groans and travails. You've heard this before. Waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. And what is it that he's already put you in the place of sonship. It's not something you are going to get. It's something you already have because he's already chosen this plan and purpose of giving you his fullness already. And Jesus Christ is the government that controls it so you can function in your life, because you couldn't function with uncontrolled glory. You'd be crawling every place you go. And the way that he has designed for this to function is through your faith. This is brilliant stuff, guys. Your faith in the now God who dwells in you. So you carry with you essentially the answer to everything, the solution to every problem. And what was Jesus' function on the earth? His function on the earth was to reveal the glory of the Father. It hasn't changed. Christ in you still has the primary objective of revealing the glory of God. Only now it's through you and your faith in God. Brilliant stuff. Brilliant. God is brilliant. So how do we let this mind-boggling glory that's resident in us get out, escape? Because the idea is it's got to go someplace. You can't just be like the dormant happy me. It's with your faith that you believe about God. It's that you begin to comprehend what the fullness is. And as you begin to think about this, it starts to answer a lot of different questions that you may have had in the scriptures. And that is, how is it that I can experience what Art's talking about right now? So how do I get that I have that? How do I get that I have it? First, you have to comprehend before you can apprehend. The Apostle Paul says, I comprehend, because he knew all about all of this. He'd already comprehended it, but he knew that he hadn't apprehend. And what's the thing that he wanted to apprehend was the redemption of his body, that he wanted to step into eternal life now. Okay. That means that he wanted to live forever, experience the forever life here on earth. So Paul understood that he already had eternal life because the source of eternal life indwelled him in Jesus Christ in him. But he was trying to say, okay, what do I do to get from where God indwells me in his fullness to where I live in his fullness? Whole different world. So the Lord wants us to discover how to live in his fullness, how to have this life that has unlimited power, unlimited potential, unlimited glory, get through the door, because Jesus Christ is the door, right? He's the gatekeeper of the glory. Jesus Christ is the gatekeeper of the glory, and he's the one that has to open the door to let it out, because it only goes one way. It goes out through you so that people see his glory. And how does it go out through you? It goes out through your faith in God. And your comprehension of something that's almost incomprehensible, that his fullness is pleased to dwell in you, in Christ Jesus. God is pleased to dwell in you in his fullness, in you, in Christ Jesus. Wow. I believe that this is the icing on the cake to the gospel of salvation. I believe that this is the gospel of the kingdom that will be preached in all the world before the end comes. Because this explains how the kingdom operates in its fullness. This is God's plan and purpose for you to be everything he always wanted you to be in the first place. And you to get on the same page with him about who you are and how this amazing discovery and plan and purpose of God is that his glory can get fully revealed through your life so that you can see things that are way beyond what you could ever think or imagine would be possible. But you're on the same page with him, and you're in agreement with him, and you start to live a life where what I see the Father doing, that I do. What I hear the Father saying, that I say. Wow. Wow. It makes what we have tried to comprehend about the goodness of God totally doable. Totally doable. By the power of the Holy Spirit, by all that he's already given us, that we've already had it since we first believed. But nobody ever told us. Nobody ever told us. And nobody ever explained that it was possible. So when I started to get this, to say the least, I was really excited. And then I had a confirmation that Bill Johnson had just recently made a short statement essentially saying the same thing, that he was beginning to believe that he'd had the fullness of God. But he hadn't really, he's still working on it. God's still downloading it into his spirit. So this is, I think this will definitely change our lives. It will cause us to live and pray a different way. It will cause us to read the Bible a different way. Because you begin to see in the scriptures that what I'm talking about is, if you don't have this framework of what the Apostle Paul released in Colossians, that you're missing a lot of what the Word has to say to you. And that will change your ability to believe God for everything that he has for you now. Everything he has for you now. Not someday in the by and by future, but what he has for you now. So, based on this, I know that it's difficult to imagine the fullness of God, because we're dealing with an eternal, unending dimension of fullness. We're not just talking about something that's fixed, that's static. We're talking about something that does not have an end to its expansion and its immense grace, and it goes on and on and on. It doesn't ever end. And so I just want you to think about for a moment for yourself, ask the Lord, give me a picture of what your fullness looks like in me. So we just want to focus on that, because that's immense. That's huge. Father, I ask that you release the full revelation of your fullness, that your angels come, Holy Spirit, that you come, that you quicken us by the power of your Spirit to begin to let us understand, to comprehend the riches of your awesome power and your awesome love that is already resident in Christ in us. In Christ in us. Let us begin to experience your fullness. Let us be witnesses to the release of your glory in us, in Christ Jesus. Wow. Let your power come, God. Let your power come. Lord, confront all of our issues with your fullness. Confront all of our issues, our human limited ideas, our own opinion of ourself, with your fullness, Father. Wow. Lord, your kingdom come in your fullness in our issues now. Your kingdom come in your fullness in our issues now. Release your now, Lord. Release your now. 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 Release your now, Father. Release your now. Now, Jesus, now, now, now is the day of salvation. Now, now is the deliverance at hand. Now, 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 Lord, now, Father, now, 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 Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. Yes, yes. I just hear all the yeses. I hear all the yeses to all the prayers that enter into the issues right now. There's yeses, yeses to the freedom of all the issues right now. Yes, 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 yes. The Lord is saying yes, yes. It's what he's always wanted to do, yes. It's what he's always wanted to be, yes. There's nothing, nothing standing in your way. Nothing. Nothing standing in your way. Nothing. Whoa. Nothing. Nothing standing in your way right now. Nothing. Nothing. All things are possible. To every request, the answer is yes. To every request. The answer is yes. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus came to set the captives free. If we believe anything less about ourselves than us having his fullness, we are captive. We are still held captive. So he wants to take us to a place of zero captivity. Zero captivity means that I get that he has given me everything. I get that he has given me not going to has. God's plan and purpose in giving Adam and Eve dominion was that they had dominion. They didn't have to get it because they had dominion. If you have the fullness of God, you don't have to get dominion. You have the one who has dominion. You have the source of dominion. You have the source of dominion. You don't have to declare that you have it. You just have to agree that you have it. You have to come into agreement with His plan for you, which is better than I've ever heard preached in my whole life. It's better. It's way better. It's way better because you don't have to go outside of yourself to get anything. You already have it all because He is the source. He's the center. He's the center of everything. And He has decided in a gracious, amazing way to have His fullness dwell in you in Christ. You are the richest person in the universe. You are the richest person in the universe now. Now, when you get this. And as you contemplate and meditate, and as you move into comprehending this, you will begin to step into apprehending this. I can't even imagine where that's going to go. Because people that apprehend this will look like Jesus. They will act like Jesus. They will talk like Jesus. They will be just like Jesus. And Jesus Himself says, no big deal. You think this is awesome? Greater things than this will you do. Greater things than this will you do. There you go. You have a life that has no limits, and the key to the door to the unlimited, ever-expanding, greatest adventure of your whole life was just handed to you. Just handed to you. Wow. 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 So I know that this is the time that God wanted to release this message. My father spent all of his life circling around this truth. He never saw it. He never saw it. He never saw it. And people are beginning to get this truth now. It's not a new truth. It's been there for ages and generations, and now being re-revealed to us who we are in Christ Jesus. Wow. Who we are. Now that you know who you are, there's a really healthy way to deal with your issues and take them to the fullness of the Father. Your fear, whatever your fear is, take it to the fullness of your Father, because He will cause it to disappear in His fullness. Whatever your addiction is, whatever your addiction is, take it to the fullness of your Father, because it cannot survive your comprehending that you carry the very fullness of him, his glory, the very fullness of who he is in you. It will not survive. I had personal experience with this. And as I was just reeling from trying to comprehend what was there all the time that was hidden in plain sight, and it just got laid in my lap. Donna and I were talking about this because we were just going, oh my God. Because when you first see something like this, it's not easy because you're just going, are we reading it right? Are we crazy? But if you read all the different translations, they all come up with the same answer. So how many times can you read all these different translations? And essentially, they're making it more amplified. They're actually making it clearer. And so as we're talking about this, Don and I were having a conversation. And I believe that this is so powerful that if you even talk about it, something is going to happen. Because you can't talk about what pleases God the most in all the universe and make it part of your conversation that some kind of evidence that it's true and it's real kind of shows up in your life. Shows up in your life. As Donna and I are talking at the very same moment that we are talking about this, Donna made a comment saying, there's got to be a place where the rubber meets the road in this. There's got to be a place where this is so real that it's something that we can see happen on this earth. So this isn't just a good idea. This isn't just an amazing idea. Exactly at that moment, the phone rings. It's Donna's stepdad telling her that he has a car for her. She was without a car for over a year because the car we bought died a year after we bought it. So we've had this thing of where we experienced personal loss in our lives, and just at that moment, she's using the expression where the rubber meets the road, and her dad calls up and says, Donna, I just bought a new car, so you get to have my other one that I had. And I drove down in it tonight. And I'm kind of like still spinning because I don't even know, just from my personal experience, where this is going to take us. I just don't think we've really understood what we can believe God for. And as we talk about things like this, that seem way out there. But this is the passion of the Father that we have everything. Wow. Let me say it again because I had a hard time with that one. The passion of the Father that we have everything. Yeah, you have to take that one in. It's a passion of the Father that we have everything. What's the point of you being a son, and even if your gender is feminine, you're still a son? Did you know that? That if you're a feminine gender here, in the kingdom of heaven, your gender changes because of Jesus Christ. Because the point of you getting the full inheritance, you have to be a firstborn son. And because you're unique, you're the only one of your kind. The way the Bible talks about Jesus Christ is in the literal translation, he was the only one of his kind son. Okay? The only one of his kind son. God has made it so that each one of us are the only one of his kind son after Jesus Christ. So that means that you have the full inheritance. That's why this whole thing makes perfect sense. Because in the kingdom of heaven, every feminine gendered person is a son of God. And the scriptures talk about that. They don't talk about the daughters of God. In fact, it's in the Old Testament, of all places. I just happened to come across that, and I know I've had it here somewhere, and okay. In Hosea 1:10, yet the number of the sons of Israel will be like the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And in the place where it is said to them, you are not my people, it will be said to them, you are the sons of the living God. So the Lord Jehovah describes the children of Israel as sons. You are the sons of God. And that he's given sonship status to everyone who is in Christ. That means authority. So in a sense, we're all prodigals. In a sense, coming from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, we're all prodigals. And what does he do? What did the father in the prodigal son story do? He gave him the robe, he hugged him and kissed him, gave him a ring, which is the ring of all authority, that all authority the Father has, the Son has. Woo. And he had a banquet to celebrate what? That his son that was dead is now alive. His son that was dead is now alive. And guess what? We've been like dead sons. We have lived like dead sons because we didn't know we had the full inheritance. Now you know. I think I'm done. So there is no impartation of this. Because I can't give you what you already have. I'd be happy to, but there's no point. So you have to just actually get what you already have. You have everything that pertains to life and godliness in Christ. And so I guess the only thing you can really do with this is begin to meditate on it, to make this a focus in your life. Imagine with God. Dream with the Father about you. Because really, there's nothing holding you back from you getting to be you. Because he made you so important and so esteemed, and he's made you so valuable that it really is more of you coming into agreement with who you already are in God, how he already sees you, that he is all about finishing what he started out to do. And we may not be walking in this, but the way to walk in it is to begin to comprehend it. And only until you comprehend can you step into apprehension. So there's several stages, and it's your faith. God has made it so it's your faith in him that opens the door of the fullness of the glory of Christ that is the doorkeeper of his glory. The doorkeeper is willing, ready, and able to let it all out. He is really wanting it to go someplace. And it's in the divine control and the holy control of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that's waiting to leak out of your life. Waiting to leak out of your life. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Did you have something? Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow, we receive that wonderful word. We receive the word of the gospel. We receive the word of truth. We receive the word of who he is in us and who we are in him. Wow. Oh, beloveds, I bless you to bask in this. Let me see. Do we have a benediction before we get ready here? Benediction. Benediction. Official benediction. Just right in the lines of what we were studying, I'm just so overwhelmed with, wow. Colossians 2, verse 9. Yeah. For in him, for in Christ, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. And you have come to fullness in him, who is the head of every ruler and authority. In him also you were circumcised with a spiritual circumcision by putting off the body of the flesh in the circumcision of Christ. When you were buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive together with him when he forgave us all our trespasses, erasing the record that stood against us with its legal demands. He set this aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in it. So I bless you with the fullness of who Christ is in you and what he has done for you in his finished work on the cross of Calvary. Oh, I bless you in Jesus' name. You're going to have the best week. You're going to have the best month. You're going to have the best year. Hallelujah, because of who he is in you. So, next week we're going to have lots of fun at Blazing Fire. Don't forget to come next week, and we will celebrate. In the meantime, anyone who wishes prayer, Blazing Fire prayer teams, and also people from other churches who are in prayer leadership, you're welcome to come up and minister in prayer. If there's anyone who wants somebody to absolutely agree with them concerning what Christ has done in the fullness of what you have, come on up. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Woo! Jesus.